Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Pour some out today with your offhand because you need it to be as weak as possible. Phillip Rivers is retiring. We'll get a shout out from, or we'll have a little discussion with Big Philly when the time is right, as he continues to process this. So now, chalk the Colts up as a team looking for quarterback? That was already the case, I think. I didn't think that Rivers, I mean, Ballard in his press conference did say, he was very honest. He said, look, it's Phillip's decision and our decision. It's both of our decisions. We have to go through this and make it together. The guy had nothing left with his arm. I came in the league hating Phillip Rivers, and by the time he was out, I loved him. And not just because of, okay, partly because I loved all the mic'd up stuff. And this is a guy with no arm strength. I mean, none. Very limited mobility. And yet, he talked more Dookie than anybody on the planet. Never cussed. Somehow trash talk people, never cussed. Isn't really beloved by players in the league because he's kind of corny. Like, you don't hear anyone. I think his own teammates have a lot of respect for him, and I think players around there respect him, but he's not one of the guys necessarily.
I believe that, John, is someone we know.
You think?
Oh, I got a text saying something like, I don't think it went to you.
Oh.
I don't think he knows I'm not producing, but he sent a text to me.
Oh.
And said, take John first.
Oh, well, let's get Deshaun. Let's get John.
Hello, John.
Is this one of the Cowboys?
Hey, I wanted to talk to I wanted to talk about Deshaun, but I just think something more important you guys haven't touched on. Who do you guys think is going to win the Cabo Cup this weekend? And I'll hang up and listen.
Well, it's interesting you ask because Dell's got a...
Oh, he's such a jerk.
What a little creep.
Yeah. The thought
was... You
want
to tell John? Yeah.
Well, he hung up before we got into it, but there's some question about whether that John is actually going to Cabo. It's convenient that on the day of an inauguration, he just happens to have the day off.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Mexico's a cover for what you plan to do.
When all these red alerts are apparently at all these state capitals and everything, you got all these FBI alerts and 25,000 troops are in. And all of a sudden, now I don't doubt he's going to Cabo at some point.
At some point doesn't mean it's happening.
Just out of curiosity, they've got extradition, right?
Mexico?
Yeah.
I don't know the rules, actually.
Okay. I'm just asking, that's separate from anything. So you believe that John and you believe his organization could be called the Cabo Cup Boys, or?
I mean, they're the Cabo Cup Boys, and I'm sure they're very proud too. I don't know what his boys are doing. I just find it convenient that on this particular day, he leaves to go to Cabo on a Wednesday,
when George Springer died as an Astro.
Yeah, you talked about this. You can't leave. George Springer and other stuff might happen.
Deshaun could get traded. He's like, oh, I'm going. Like, John, but Deshaun Watson could get traded. George Springer could be gone. There's a head coach for the Texans. How are you going to leave at such an important time? He goes, I have things to do. Like, and I said, what things? He goes, golf things.
Stuff.
And he kind of just said, stuff, golf things.
We got sidetracked because of the clown who called in just to, I don't know, do what he did. I always like Phillip Rivers.
I like the other side of John on Cabo Cup.
What do you mean?
He said, who's going to win? The other side of John's team.
Someone that's not you, John, and someone who's not your
team. You're taking the field.
Yeah, I'm taking the field and the team that isn't
yours. Two teams. I'm taking the other team.
I'm taking the other team. I always like Phillip Rivers because he wore a visor, at least when he entered the league. That was my deal with him. He was one of the only quarterbacks to wear a visor.
Yeah, that's ballsy to wear a visor. Literally nobody did that except maybe Brad Johnson at some point. But Rivers had no arm and could still deal somehow. He had to throw with unbelievable anticipation, lightning quick release, and he had to have it because there's no velocity on his. He threw a Hail Mary 39 yards. They needed it to go 50. He got it 39 yards, a Hail
Why
Mary.
Why didn't they put Brissett? Jacoby Brissett?
It made no sense. It was a series of bad moves by Frank Reich in that game, and that was the last one. Hail Mary, it's our last chance to extend the season. Let's get a quarterback who can't even get it to the end zone. So Big Philly is retiring. George Springer signs a six-year, $150 million deal that Granato's not here for. And he's officially a Blue Jay, which means Michael Brantley will probably be a Blue Jay next because they just are super bros. So that's probably going to happen. So we'll lose two very, very good bats for the Astros. And the restock, and it's not a rebuild, maybe more reload, depending on how they approach this, will begin. Although it does not appear that they are going to be in the market for, we'll see what happens in terms of position players. We know that they've added some arms to the bullpen. Baez was a really good addition. So we know that's what they're going to do. They got some young pitchers. Yordan hopefully will be back and fine this year. But they still have some work to do from a bat standpoint.
What's the outfield look like?
Well,
particularly if Brantley's no longer.
Tucker, Straw, and John was saying Diaz, but I can't imagine. I mean, to me, you have to almost really go look and see if you want to add somebody in the outfield. Diaz, A, is not healthy as much as he needs to be. And B, I mean, he's your Swiss Army knife that you can plug into a variety of positions. I really don't want him as an everyday guy. I don't think there's anyone coming up from the minors. There's nobody that I know of who is the next man up for the outfield spot. So
things will change. They'll acquire someone. But as we speak, the names, you got a Chaz McCormick, a Miles Straw, and a Kyle Tucker. Those are your three outfielders right now on the roster. That'll change, but that's what it is right now.
Yeah, they've got to acquire somebody. I mean, they really have to. They have to get somebody. And they may need to get a couple guys now into the rotation for the outfield. It's 8:09. Let's get Chris in here. Here's our phone number. If you guys want to jump in on Springer's Astro, you can feel free to do that. We've had Deshaun Watson. We've had NFL draft talk. Devontae Smith talk. And coming up in a second, Bucky Brooks. Let's get Chris really quickly. What's up, Chris, how you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great. I love the show. Fresh with Dell on instead of John all the time. So I like it. Love you, Dell. Hey, quick question. So Devontae Smith, when you guys are talking about comparisons, like to me, he's Peter Warwick, like from Florida State. Like when I was watching the national championship game, like he's punt returning, he's kick returning, he's wide receiver, nobody keeps up with him. And then like even sitting with my wife watching the game, she's like, "Where are his legs at?" I'm like, "Yeah, like he's gonna be injury." Like I'm not a fan of like drafting him if we could like with some trades. And then secondly, Lance, like in talking about the offensive line, if we got the enemy, like would some of the schemes that he runs with motion and moving people around help with keeping the defense on their heels
yes.
to help our offensive line out? Like, how does that work? And I just wanted to kind of hear maybe your thoughts on that.
That's a really good question. I'll make it quick. So the Chiefs run a lot more. Well, they like to run outside zone, which is what Gary Kubiak ran. You know, you want a little bit more athletic guys, but more and more teams are getting bigger guys who they're like, we'll just run more inside zone, which doesn't require as much movement. And you're fine left tackle, left guard, center, right? I mean, Fulton would not fit any kind of a zone scheme stuff. I mean, not even remotely close. So you need a guard anyway. He needs to be cut that money, and go get a cheap guard is what you need to do with one of your picks. The problem is you might have to get him in the fifth. I could give you names of guys who I already think are going to be pretty good picks later in that draft. I could give you a center right now. Chris Dahlman's son, who you could get in the seventh round from Stanford, Drew Dahlman. You could put him at center. He's a little undersized. You could move Nick Martin to guard, and you would be able to play tomorrow. So, but the movement, if he runs all the jet action stuff, you could use Kiki QT for that. You could use Brandon a little bit. And, yeah, that does keep – it forces linebackers to be on their heels a little bit because they have to read the mesh point. But that's if you've got a quarterback that does – you got a lot of – ball handling, like that's made for Deshaun Watson. That offense is made for Deshaun Watson. We'll just see if that's what happens. 8:11. here on the bench. Coming up next, we're going to visit with NFL Network's Bucky Brooks. We got a variety of topics to talk about, but most especially Deshaun Watson. And we'll see what Bucky Brooks, former NFL scout, former NFL player, and current analyst, thinks about the Texans and the direction they're headed in. It's 8-11 right here on the bench.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
8:15 here on The Bench, Lance Zierlein and Dell. Dell Olele is in today, and Tyler's producing. Joining us right now is a guy who I like a lot, who I respect a lot, respect his work. He played in the league. He coached, or rather, he was a scout in the league. He works for NFL Network, so he's seen it from all angles, and is an analyst. He's also an analyst for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He does that remotely from the Los Angeles area, so you can catch him on Move the Sticks, one of the co-hosts with Daniel Jeremiah on the Move the Sticks podcast, the most listened to. I'm just going to say, Bucky, I don't even know if that's true, but I'm just going to call it the most listened to football podcast in the world. Bucky Brooks joins us right now, 6:15. Bucky, people don't even realize you got so much going on right now. You got, like, you also run a football team. You run a high school football team as well.
Yeah, we got a lot on the plate right now, but it's all good, man. As you know, this is the best time of the year, man. Like, we got playoff football, we got the draft coming up, like, everything is popping. That's the best way to say it.
So I want to get into this first, because this is something you and I would be talking about even if we were at the Senior Bowl, for example. James Harden and Watson, and this is why I bring this up, because you're a basketball fan too. And the more I keep thinking about the Harden situation, which I don't even have to ask. I already know you've kept up with that whole thing, what went down with the Rockets. Do you see any kind of other than James maybe wearing a fat suit to try to trick his way out of Houston? I haven't seen Deshaun do that, but do you feel like there's some similarity? Like, do you see that as a similar situation, the Watson saga and what James Harden, and then the decision that both the Rockets had to make and the Texans may have to make?
I mean, look, I think on the surface there's some of that, right? So people are trying to kind of paint the narrative that this is a player empowerment movement and that Deshaun Watson has leverage to kind of force his way out. And on the surface, maybe it appears to be that he has some of that, because he has been, I mean, not him, but people around him have been very, very vocal about his displeasure with some of the things that are taking place in Houston. But the reality of the situation is the new CBA makes it real prohibitive for a player to withhold his services. And so it just makes it very, very challenging for him. He signed the extension in September, 4 year, $158 million. He's going to make $39 million annually when that kicks in. He got a $27 million signing bonus. So he has already gotten paid. And, you know, in terms of forcing their hand to make them trade him, I think if I'm the Houston Texans, I just kind of sit tight. Like, he can have his complaints. Everyone can kind of kick up dust and make this noise. But at the end of the day, when training camp comes and when the season comes, is he really going to sit out? Is he really going to miss the money? And I think if you're Nick Caserio, you're the Houston Texans front office, I think you just kind of have to hold firm and kind of reclaim or make sure that you don't set a bad precedent that players can do whatever they want to do to get out of the deal.
I made a point the other day. I just sent a tweet out, but I kind of mean this. I think there is such a thing as real leverage, like Laremy Tunsil had against the Texans when they didn't get him to sign a contract when they traded for him. And then there's Twitter leverage, where it feels like it because all these tweets say this and that. Does Deshaun have real leverage, or is this just kind of a bunch of people on Twitter and it's a bunch of talking heads on television stations like the Daniel Jeremiah's, just blah, 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 blah. Is it real leverage, Bucky, does it that he has? Because it sounds like you don't think he actually has real leverage.
I don't think he has real leverage. I really don't. Like, I know people have told me, well, he could maybe go in and have like a phantom injury and those things. And all of that. And I was like, man, I don't see it as a situation like that. I feel like the Texans were wrong, because if you told them that you're going to include them in the process, then run things by them, like, you should be of your word. So if you say it, then do it. But that is the thing where I think they got to get in the room and they got to have this heart-to-heart, Nick Caserio, Deshaun Watson, talk it out, figure out where the direction of the franchise is going, pick a head coach, and the head coach doesn't necessarily have to be the guy that Deshaun Watson wants, but I think you want to keep the franchise quarterback abreast of what's going on. Then you make a decision to move forward. Deshaun Watson laid out what he wanted in his post, like at the end of the season, his presser, where he talked about culture and the kind of coach and what they need and accountability and everybody pushing forward and all those other things. Well, Nick Caserio and him can be the instruments of change by getting on the same page and making sure that they see the game through the same vision and make sure they're saying the right stuff.
Earlier, Lance made the comparison to James Harden, and I asked this question because what does a potential trade request do to a locker room? Because we heard from Boogie Cousins and John Wall that before James Harden went scorched earth in his final press conference, or at least after game interaction with the media, they said there was clear disrespect by the way he approached the season, not following protocol. So they felt that disrespect beforehand, particularly Cousins talked about that. Would a trade request from a quarterback who's supposed to be the leader of the franchise, and if he makes it very public that he wants out in his own words, does that change the dynamic here?
I mean, it depends, because like we really haven't heard from Deshaun, so we really don't know. It's a lot of speculation about him wanting to be out and stuff like that. And so until he stands at the podium and says, hey, I want to be gone, I'm tired of it, like this doesn't work for me or whatever, I don't think the locker room is impacted at all. And also, the locker room is going to be in change anyway with a new general manager and a new head coach. How many of those guys are really going to be around? So I don't think anything will be impacted now until Deshaun comes out and he just says that he's dissatisfied, he's unhappy, he doesn't want to be there, he's looking to move on and close this chapter of his life. And so until he does that, I think all of this stuff can be worked out.
Bucky, what do you know about Eric Bieniemy? I know Maurice Jones-Drew knows him pretty well. I don't know how well you know Bieniemy. What have you heard about him? What do you know about him personally? What can you tell us about Eric Bieniemy?
I mean, I know EB pretty well, man. Haven't played against him, haven't known him for a long time. Also, haven't known similar. We have mutual friends throughout the league. Well, man, he's a great dude. Great dude, natural leader, doesn't mind challenging guys and confronting guys. If you want to go back and just look at him interact with players, just watch Welcome to the League with Adrian Peterson. During Adrian Peterson's rookie year when EB was on his tail trying to get him going. Like, that's what he does. And I think since he has become the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, I think you can see his imprint on this offense. Whether he's calling every play or not, I think you can see that this is a more balanced team because he's the run game advocate. He understands it. The way that he interacts with the quarterback, I think he has to get credit for that. I think sometimes on the outside, we pick and choose who gets credit for what, and for whatever reason, he hasn't gotten it. But I will say that if he is a head coach, I think he has an opportunity to be a really strong head coach, because he is a very, very in-your-face leader. He is one that can get everyone on board, and I think he would create the right kind of culture that you need.
Most people would consider the process here faulty, as far as the Texans are concerned, how they hire their GM and how they may potentially hire Eric Bieniemy, because right or wrong, it'll be looked at as simply they're trying to placate their quarterback who's upset with being left out of the process. Mm-hmm. Do you believe with the two guys, Caserio and maybe a combination of Bieniemy, overcome a faulty process to land on the right guys?
I mean, if Bieniemy is the right guy, like, I think so. I think the first thing that has to happen is everybody has to get in the room and it has to be communicated. Like, you got to get out whatever the issue is or the issues are down there, you got to clean that out. And I think that has to be mission number one for not only Caserio, but also for Bieniemy, whoever the next coach is. Like, you have to clean that out. You got to get all that stuff out. And then everybody has to operate in lockstep. I think two things you have to be successful in the organization. You got to have trust, and you got to have communication. And so it appears, obviously, that the trust is broken. So you got to rebuild the trust, and you got to make sure you do it by having excellent communication with everyone involved in the building.
when you clean this stuff up, like the rest of the stuff will kind of fall in line. But I think the number one thing is you got to repair the trust that has been broken within the building.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that is I'm a little concerned, the more we've been talking about this, I hadn't really put this all together, but I'm kind of curious how a relationship between the Patriot way and that that version of silos that, you know, this is your little cone of responsibility and don't step outside of that, secretive. Nick Caserio and his how he interacts and works with Eric Bieniemy, I don't think that can necessarily be a given because he's always worked with one guy, Bill Belichick. And Bill Belichick, that's the most unusual setup in all the sports. Is that something that could be a potential concern is how does Caserio, from the Patriot way, communicate and have the trust and the, you know, the things that you talked about with a head coach like Eric Bieniemy? Will they be on the same wavelength?
I think the main thing when it comes to it is during the interview process or as they continue to build their relationship is understanding what is the vision of the organization, what is the mission statement, what is the culture that they're attempting to build, because they have to be partners. They have to work in lockstep to make sure that it happens. The Patriot way is very unique. It is the way that they've gone about business, not only with Bill Belichick, but also with Bill Parcells. Well, you can't necessarily take that and just duplicate it in Houston. You saw it with Bill O'Brien or whatever, and other places. Like, it has to be its own unique thing. Like, whatever the Texans are about, the Texans have to be about that. And so I think it's really important that through communication, consistent dialogue, going back and forth and exchange of ideas, that Nick Caserio and whoever's the head coach, they are on the same page and they make sure that they're working together, because we have seen what it looks like when it doesn't go right. I think the Texans want to get it right this time and make sure that everybody is working, I want to say, with a level of transparency.
Bucky Brooks is NFL.com and NFL Network joins us. Before you came on the show, Lance was talking a little flagrant. Actually, I'd say very flagrant. He said it was a sign of disrespect that when you and he partner for draft coverage, you're on the digital side. He called it disrespectful. Why aren't you on the? He said, "Why aren't we on the NFL Network side?" Do you agree? Is it a sign of disrespect?
Look, I understand that part of it, but what I'm gonna say,
I'm looking out for you.
I'm gonna say that it's the new medium, and what we're trying to do is appeal to the youngsters, because the youngsters don't watch the TV box. Like, all the youngsters are on YouTube. All the youngsters are doing it on their phones and iPads anyway, so it doesn't really matter if we're on TV. But I do feel them a little bit,
That's what I was saying. I mean, I just said, you know, let me know if y'all need something on one of these drafts. Just let me,
something.
Yeah,
anything.
We keep getting pushed. Bucky used to do we used to do the whole draft. Like, we were on the set doing, like Craig Mack putting flavor in everybody's ear. And then all of a sudden, they got us like, okay, well, now y'all going to do a post show. And now it's like, we'll get on a Zoom for about 3 minutes. And I'm like, man, why are y'all trying to push us all the way off there? What are they doing, Buck?
All the way off. I know, all the way off. And with no combine and anything else, like, who knows, man? We're just going to be on the back pages for a minute. So I think I'm going to have to get my Twitter fingers up and make sure that I do something and tweet something that's interesting to kind of keep everyone engaged.
Well, so that's the question. Deshaun right now is using future lyrics to, you know, he throws it out there and everyone has to try to decipher. What rap lyrics would you put out, or what music lyrics of any kind would you put out? Like, who is Bucky tweeting if you want to create the intrigue where people say, man, what does Bucky mean by that?
Well, you know, like near 50, like, I can't reach down and do none of, I can't use any of the youngsters, the Baby and Polo G or none of those guys, because that's my son's generation. I would have to be more Jay-Z, Drake, Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe I could throw some Lil Wayne out there, since Lil Wayne just got pardoned. Maybe I could bring him back and kind of let everybody know what's going down.
Yeah, you could do anything from Cash Money. If you wanted to keep it, if you want to go Cash Money, you could keep it fairly simple, to be honest with you. There ain't any of the bounce music from Louisiana. Buck, it's good. At some point, we'll catch up about the Harden trade and see what you thought. And I am interested. There is a growing sense that James Harden used some type of prosthetic stomach to make himself look bad in warmups because something's not right. Like, for real, something's not right. He did maybe, something.
Maybe they always caught him on the inhale instead of the exhale. I don't know. Because he looks like a different dude in Brooklyn.
You can juice for 3 years and not change like that. I'm like, hold on, did James order a fat suit just to get out of Houston? Come on.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe he had on one of those back wraps or whatever. You know how, like, people go in the gym and they wrap something. I don't know. He looked
totally.
His game. He and Kevin Durant. Boy.
Same James. Triple-double. We're like, oh, well. It is what it is. Buck, thanks for joining us so early in the morning. I appreciate it.
No problem, man. Talk to you.
All right. Bucky Brooks with NFL Network. It's 8:30. We come back. Dell and I will kick that around a little bit. And I do want to mention, I hate to judge a book by its cover, but I'm going to 100% judge a book by its cover, which is kind of what this show likes to do when we come back right here on the bench. Check them out now. We doing big camp, baby, spending cheese. Check them out now.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
If you missed the interview with Bucky Brooks, we'll replay it at 10:30 in the next hour, and you can hear it in its entirety. Actually, let's do 10:50. We'll keep it on the same time structure. We'll do it at about 10:15.
Can we determine where Tyler wants to get traded to by the songs he plays? Do you want to be in Atlanta? Do you want to work for an Atlanta radio station?
Well, no way. He's done that, but he's had Houston. He was Houston just – so he's had New York.
That was his goodbye Houston. To Houston.
That was Paul Wall. So you played Paul Wall, Houston. You had Jay-Z, New York. You have right now Outkast.
Yeah. Are you sending messages?
Maybe.
See?
You never know.
The new trend.
We don't know what you're, it's cryptic, what you're trying to tell us.
Bumper music. That's what it is.
What is it?
Cryptic bumper music.
Cryptic bumper music. Yeah. Dell usually just hits. Dell plays the same stuff every single day.
I do.
Because he's not trying to send any messages. He's just trying to get through the show.
It really is about survival for me. I mean, the less time I have to think about music, the more time I can think about navigating the traps that are this show. Namely,
there are traps
everywhere. So you have to be light on your feet, and I can't spend time thinking about music to send messages.
You are also a trap setter, though.
No, I'm not.
Tyler, have you ever played it's not Risk. What's the one where you set up the little generals, but there's also bombs around the flag that you put with the flag? It's not Risk. It's a
Minesweeper?
Well, okay. Yeah, let's actually play Minesweeper. It's the same. Being with Dell and John on the show is a lot like playing Minesweeper.
I don't say things.
Because there's random bombs, and you got to be very careful, and you've got to think. Like, you can't just go in. You need context clues so you can say, based on the numbers.
Do you really need context clues with John?
Well, not with John.
It's pretty obvious.
But Dell's is more tricky, where I'm like, okay, John's is like 1-1-1-1-1 all around. Okay, there's a John bomb there.
Checkers
but
with
Dell,
John.
It's just
you can play
trickier.
You can play chess with me. It's like Connect Four with John.
Yeah,
it's like okay.
Dell, I
gotta
watch
what you're
like.
Doing
oh,
here.
Dell is just trying to get me
but
down the road to this.
But I don't say things that get you in trouble. I set traps.
Yeah,
to allow you to walk into.
We
things.
Call them snares. Like I watch alone. So I watch the show alone, and like the rabbit snares. Like Dell will set snares out, and you think you're just fine hopping through a forest talking sports, and all of a sudden you realize he's got your paw. He's got one of the hoof.
I watched this movie called The Silencing. It's on Amazon, I think. It has Jamie Lannister and the first wife from the hell's that show? Peaky Blinders, the blonde who dies. You've seen her, you know.
Yeah.
It's a
Is
show.
Is it new?
It's relatively new. Yeah, it came out last year. It's a show set in like.
Ooh, Rotten Tomatoes gave 17. Nice.
It's fine. I mean, I think it's better than 17%, but it went straight to the prime. It's set in the American West. I forgot what part. Oh, I forgot where exactly it is, but it's all British actors because that's what it is now. I don't think I set snares. I think I set those traps where I don't know what they're called, what they call them in movies, but they're covered with foliage and stuff, but they're like these trap doors, and he opens them when he sees an animal coming through, and he's got these like pointy stakes pointing up, and if an animal falls, it impales itself. Mm-hmm. I believe that's what I said. I think mine are a little more vicious than snares, because if you fall in one of my traps, it becomes like something you can never get away from. It comes
No, that's not true.
A drop. It becomes a drop.
No, you can get away.
No, it becomes a drop.
It's more snare.
No, it's not a snare.
Eventually, the rabbit could shake free or pull.
You never shake free.
Yeah, I always shake.
Do you think you shake?
I see him. I see him coming.
No,
I'm not like John that runs head first through it and gets hung by. He gets hung by the snare wire because he goes head first and then somehow survives where none of the Twitter animals attack him. The people who are out there to get him even see him. They don't even see him just sitting there. They could come up there and just attack him if they wanted to. And he just goes, doo-doop, doo-doop. I can't believe I got away with another. Just tore right through Dell's little trap.
He's got the head and the height of a buffalo. That's why.
Yeah.
Buffaloes aren't the brightest. They run into things all the time. You know what? They're buffalo, so they survive a lot.
If he's listening, he a billion percent will call her.
I don't care. That's kind of the point.
So I said I wanted to judge a book by its cover.
And who's on the cover?
Okay, so this Jared Porter guy, I didn't know who he was. I didn't care. It's a National League GM. I barely care about American League GMs. Why would I care about a National League GM? Until I get a story where you're sending a bunch of sexually explicit messages to a reporter, then I'm going to perk up. We all do. That's the world we live in. But when I see this dude, when I read the story and then I see this dude, I don't think this is what our world is supposed to be. We should fight against this, but I'm going to do it anyway.
What general managers?
How does a guy that looks like him?
You mean like Chaz Bono?
Yeah, in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a way. How is that guy, and this is a guy, how is he?
Well, Chaz is a guy too.
Well, Jared Porter, I'm talking specifically, Dale. I'm not going to fall into your snare. How is Jared Porter? You see what I'm saying? I saw it. I saw it, Dale. This is what I did.
It wasn't a snare. Right, he does look like Chaz Bono.
It's an invite. Like, come on into this Chaz Bono snare.
Let's talk about Chaz Bono.
John would just go right into it. No problem.
What do you think?
I bounce around.
You think
it.
Chaz Bono would secure George Springer if he was the GM for the Mets?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
Might not have sent those explicit.
Probably not.
But might have. I don't know.
I don't know.
I just know that when I saw him, I could say, oh, I totally see him doing this.
Of course.
I might have not hired him because I didn't trust his looks. Now, we're not supposed to do that. That's very prejudiced. You're not supposed to prejudge someone based on looking like they might send sex to people who didn't ask for them, mm-hmm. or they might do airdrops with their wang on a subway. That's not stuff you want to do.
Airdrops with their wang. I can't imagine sitting on a subway and someone wants to airdrop with you, and you just click it randomly. Oh no,
no! The reason I say that is because I talked to somebody in New York one time who said that's a real thing.
I know.
If
you let it open,
if you leave it open for all to share, that in New York on a subway, you 100% are going to get a wank shot sent to you.
I'm not laughing at the unsuspecting woman who gets it. Just the thought of it popping up on some dude's phone.
Oh, I'm 100% laughing at everybody. No. Are you kidding me? For you to be sitting there and you have an airdrop and you click accept. First of all,
Why would you accept?
An airdrop on, well, because you're really curious. If you're leaving it open, you kind of want.
You kind of want to see things.
It's like if you have direct message open, like I do for draft purposes, which means I'm going to get people. They treat it like a sports talk show. Hey, I've been meaning to ask you, what do you think a good value? I'm not answering. No, call into a show or do it on regular Twitter. Don't slide in also to show me your huddle tapes of your son in eighth grade. That has no value to me as a draft guy. you need to keep an eye on
the next great prospect.
Yeah, on Ricky here. I'm like, nah, I just don't. No, I don't need to keep an eye on him. When he's draft eligible and declares, I'll take a look at him. Not his eighth grade tape on Huddle, his highlight film that you've got, you know, Young Thug underneath with your music video. I mean, with your music is done by Young Thug and some kid just gained 7 yards, but, you know, he juked one kid out of his socks. I don't need to see that. But if you have it open, that means you're kind of interested in something magical happen. Like maybe Prince Charming or Princess Hot. I don't know what that is. Maybe they'll send you something and you'll have some kind of romantic interlude. It becomes a marriage. You have a, you know how me and your mom met? I actually sent something to her, her AirDrop, and I sent a picture of myself smiling, and she accepted it and texted back, and we just had a great. Or it could be, do you know why your dad got arrested? He was on a subway and he was sending his wang.
Can you get arrested
to different
for that?
People?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's I believe you can.
You can get arrested.
Is it a harassment? They accept it
for unsolicited.
If they accept it, is it officially unsolicited?
I think via
text. Have you ever sent your wang to somebody through AirDrop?
No.
Have you ever played the AirDrop roulette?
Yeah. You know what? That needs to be a game.
Not for me.
When you go to New York, open your AirDrop. See what happens.
What a terrible game. You're always the loser.
Just see what. I'm going to open my AirDrop right now.
There's only me
I've
and Tyler.
I've never around anybody. Yeah, I'm going to know. Like, oh, Brandon Strange is sending me something again.
Of his wang?
Hopefully not.
Oh, okay.
I have very few people around me that are close enough to AirDrop me. It's like Brandon Strange and like Granado. He doesn't know how to do that. He can't AirDrop anything. And maybe Jose. And I would hope Jose Partida doesn't AirDrop me anything.
You're not getting AirDropped the wang in this place.
No. I really don't want to anywhere.
Maybe.
But I do think the idea of playing roulette, like you said, AirDrop roulette, that is a thing that should happen at some point.
Not for me.
Like if you were at let's say there was no pandemic anymore.
Okay.
And you were at Burning Man. No. Or maybe not Burning Man.
Yeah,
I don't know
about Burning Man. They're kind of anti-cell phones there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It would have to be like a...
Bonnaroo.
A Lollapalooza.
Coachella.
Or Coachella, either one.
Uh-huh.
And you left it off. There's a good chance you could also get some pretty decent stuff.
You think?
Oh yeah.
Now I know the level of attractiveness for the women there.
It's pretty high.
It's pretty high. But do you think they're looking to just send random pics of themselves? Whoever has their AirDrop open.
Well, I mean, they're tendering all over the place.
I think it's a little freakier generation, though.
Man, yeah.
The Coachella generation is a generation undermined.
That's a freakier generation. No, why wouldn't you take advantage of that generation? If they want to send you AirDrops.
Edit point. I'm not taking advantage of anyone.
I didn't say of them.
Well, you did say that.
Actually, I said taking advantage of that generation. Why don't you take advantage of that opportunity?
Yeah, you should have
put
it that
way. To maybe get something magical sent to your AirDrop.
Because there's always a chance I'll get some.
You're going to get Wang, too.
Yeah, I don't
know. I'm just telling you now.
I'm looking for that.
I'm just telling you now. Because they don't know who they're sending. Well, no, if it says Dell's phone.
They'll know.
If it says Dell's phone or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, they'll know.
So if you're doing AirDrop, doesn't it normally like show the picture? Like your little avatar guy?
Yes, it shows. And then at like a smaller picture up top and it shows.
Well, Dell could put a picture of Clint Capella. Or something
no,
like
not
that.
Of me, of what you're sending.
Oh.
Well, no.
No. I think it's the person. I don't think
recipient.
It shows what you're
well,
sending.
Well, yeah, you see that, too.
It shows, like, whoever.
Have you
like,
ever wanged somebody on an AirDrop?
I've never.
Why are you
first
acting
all,
like you know what's going to happen?
I don't like your use of wanged. No.
As
I've
a
never,
verb?
I've never wanged anyone on an AirDrop. No.
That's the verb. That's what everyone says, wang somebody.
How many D-picks do you think got AirDropped at Firefest?
Ooh. Quite a few.
Oh, they start getting mostly from that guy with the water. Who's gonna?
Oh yeah,
who's gonna do something True. To make sure the water got through?
Yeah, it was.
Hey man, that's dedication.
See, Tyler, you're actually part of management, and you're letting us go 5 minutes over just because we're
look,
banging.
I told you he did, that you had a read at 8:41.
I'm telling you, I'm not airdropping anyone, but you can see the picture of what you're sending plus who you want to send it to. So they will be able to know. Well, I can see it. I don't know if they can. Like, I can see what I'm going to send. It's at the top.
Yeah, but who cares if you see what
you're
going to send?
I think they see it too, right?
No, I don't
think so. Before they accept?
Here, I'm going to send you something.
No,
now. Open
I don't
this.
Want. I don't
just
want,
open this.
Don't send me a picture of your brisket. I don't want to see
open
that.
Open this. Oh, you caught me. You caught me. It's going to be juicy and hot.
Ugh.
847 right here. I want to tell you about a juicy, hot vehicle, and that's a Chevy, the Chevy Silverado or GMC Sierra 1500. I just saw a listener of the show. He's from Canada. I'm trying to remember his name, but he is a bodybuilder, and he just went and got a truck. Craig called me up, and the guy was in there, and put it on speaker, and I was talking to him, it's a really nice tricked out truck, great grill. I mean, you can get what you want. You're going to get what you want when you go to Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Angleson. And they are very, very adamant that you need to be able to get exactly it is that you want, and whether it's post purchase or pre purchase, something that they just have that's available for you, they're going to take care of that, and they want you to understand that making you happy is everything to them. It's everything to them, and they treat you like family. They treat you like they would want to be treated. And I know that's these sound like words that you hear all the time, but I'm just telling you, Craig DeSurf, I've known for well over a decade. I've spoken for him for at least that long, and the way that he treats people and the prices he offers and the service you're going to get makes it very easy for me to put my name behind their services. Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC. For more information on all the programs they have available right now or to go see their inventory, go to LanceZCars.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
It's that evil.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Houston still has a quarterback. Deshaun Watson is still... I haven't checked. I think he's still a quarterback. We haven't seen... Tyler, we get a chance to check his Twitter to see if he's tweeting anything new for Dell to decipher. Dell's our rap decipherer, if that is a thing.
I'm not, actually. I see that to Mike Florio.
Okay. Mike Florio will be the rap decipherer. And we'll see what Deshaun's next tweet is going to be. We wait on the edge of our seat. I'll at least give James credit. James didn't play a lot of games. He's like, I want out of here. Give me the fat suit.
All quiet on the Watson front, sir.
So nothing okay. All right. Just keep us posted if anything new pops up from Future on his Twitter. Do you think people are going to turn on him at all? I mean, they won't full. It won't even be 50%. It would be like 10% of the fans. Do you think this is going to start to annoy people with this constant? He wants something, but he won't say it out loud. Like, just say it with your chest. If you want something, say it.
If he continues to use lyrics to put out the message, yes, at some point. People will turn. He has the benefit of playing for the Texans, which is something he wants to get away from. But because he plays for this organization that's considered a joke, not only in the city, but also nationally, taking shots at them or not wanting to be there is understood. And that probably will still be fine for people outside of Houston. But if he continues this where he's talking about, if he's using things other than his own actual words to get across a point, people are going to get annoyed. At some point, they'll be like, look, we understand. This organization sucks. Just go ahead and say it. And say you want out. Enough.
He's not straddling the fence where he's got plausible deniability. No, it's just rap lyrics. It's just rap lyrics. And you'll also notice, and Bucky made this distinction. Bucky Brooks was on with us at 8:15. He said Deshaun's people or people around Deshaun, Deshaun hasn't said anything. That's actually true. Where do you hear... Where has Deshaun Watson said anything other than he has made some comments where he's, but only in the setting of being interviewed after a game or before a game, whatever the case may be. Has he sat down with ESPN?
No.
Has he sat down with somebody from NFL Network? Has he put comments on Instagram story or Twitter? You don't see any of that. You hear about things. Sources say this, this, and this, but you never hear it directly from Deshaun. I think it gives him plausible deniability. It does keep him, and frankly, listen, it keeps him from looking, I think, in a way, it keeps him from looking like a diva, because once you do it, there are going to be some people who are going to turn, and this does give you kind of an open-ended complaining way of complaining without putting your name on it. I don't know that I respect it a whole lot. I'm gonna read a tweet I got from a guy who is a Clemson guy who works in the football world. He said,
Dabo?
It's not Dabo. Oh. I just say he works in the football world, and he is a Clemson guy. He said, I personally don't understand why Deshaun isn't taking more heat on this one. I guess folks are afraid to criticize. Obviously, Cal has messed this up and miscommunicated to Deshaun what quote-unquote input meant to him, but it seems to me that Deshaun is sort of whining because Cal didn't take his advice. What does Deshaun Watson know about picking a GM? And I'm a Clemson guy. I love Deshaun. I just think he looks like a diva, and that is surprising to me.
Is he the same guy who has to convince Dabo to let Brent Venables play his three-star safety?
I don't think he
Son.
Was.
Is he yeah. that guy?
No, is I don't think guy, is he I the, don't think this guy's real happy with Dabo playing his kid.
No, Brent Venables playing his kid.
Is I he, mean, no, yeah, Brent Venables.
He's not the guy who has to tell Dabo, look, I know Brent is playing his three-star prospect kids in front of four stars. He's not that guy?
Three-star?
Yeah. Well, Tyler, the safety, not you, but he actually has a kid named Tyler.
No, he
three-star
yeah.
safety.
Yeah, okay.
Whose best offer was from Coastal Carolina.
I don't know if that was the case or not. But
the reason
I do know that there are going to be some people who rightfully make the case that how is this different from James or anyone else who tries to bully people with the empowerment movement and get out of a contract that was and this is a point of contention for a lot of people, and fairly so. Why would Deshaun sign? Now I can explain how it's a little bit different, and we'll do it coming up. But why is it different that you sign a big extension, they give you this amazing contract with no trade clause, it's short term, why would you try to force your way out now?
Well, he gets away with it because since he came into the league, it's been the Texans are wasting Deshaun Watson.
But they haven't since he came into the league.
But that's been the thought since he entered the league.
Do you think that's a fair one?
No, I don't think that they've put the team around him in the best position to win. Waste is weird, but that's the thought. Bill O'Brien wasted Deshaun Watson's potential. He's holding Deshaun back.
It's crazy that they had a 24-point lead in Kansas City and would have been in an AFC championship game if they could have held on. Now, holding Kansas City's offense back was impossible. But you did help out. Like, Bill O'Brien's bad moves really did help Kansas City regain some momentum. But it is pretty insane to think about how close they were to getting to an AFC championship game.
I think
last year.
Deshaun had Bill O'Brien as cover. Now he has Cal as cover and Jack Easterby as cover. Yeah. So he is the one that's holding, in people's eyes, holding this organization to any level of respectability. Everyone else is bringing him down, is what people say, think and believe.
I don't know what I think. We'll get into it a little bit more. If you guys, we've already got some calls coming in. You guys want to jump in, 3776.
He can't see everybody.
I can't even remember.
713-780-3776. That's the number.
That's what John usually does. That part.
She's shallow. Don't say.
ESPN 97.5.